everyone, and welcome to Devil Fruit Punch, the podcast where we read One Piece and then we talk about it. I am, of course, your host, John, and joining me today from the Democratic People's Republic of Texas is Patrick Ramirez.
How's everybody doing out there? Real nice to talk to y'all down here from Texas, where everything goes to be worse.
Everything is totally normal in Texas right now.
Everything's totally fine here.
And also joining me is Matt.
Hey, everyone. It's getting more normal by the moment, but that's why we're here, to just enjoy our normalcy together.
One might even call it hyper-normal.
If only there was a word for a process like that, maybe explored in a feature-length documentary form. Great movie. You should check it out. Hyper-normalization.
This week, we are discussing chapters 727 through 740. Again, every time I say the numbers, it sounds crazy.
I did a double take yesterday. I'm like, 740? Holy shit.
Yeah.
God.
We're so close to 1,000.
Right.
Creeping up. In these chapters,
good luck with
Rebecca,
this one, John.
Oh, it's long, baby.
Good fucking luck, dude.
Rebecca is being chased around the Colosseum. 10 years ago, the good King Riku was in bed when Doflamingo showed up and laid claim to Dressrosa. Even though there was really no possible way for him to raise the necessary ransom, he tried anyway. And, you know, if he gets as much as he can and then he asks Doflamingo really nicely, I'm sure everything will work out. Right? Wrong. Doflamingo uses his parasite strings to force King Riku and his guards to commit war crimes before riding in on his white horse to save the kingdom. But wait, that's not all. The wretched bastard Doflamingo used King Riku's life as leverage to force his daughter Viola to work for him, and now she goes by Violet. Bellamy is about to assassinate Luffy when a gender non-conforming teenager named Dellinger shows up to take him out at Doflamingo's behest. Law and Doffy are having a showdown. The Straw Hats have a three-way Zoom call, and Frankie makes the executive decision that it's time to open a can of whoop-ass on Doflamingo. Law and Doffy show up outside the Colosseum, where Law gets immediately ventilated in the chest area. Fujitora agrees to hear Doffy out back at the Royal Palace. Team Sanji encounters the tackiest ship in existence that could only belong to the cuntiest pirate in the New World, Big Mom. It's official. Team Nami is going to head to Zoo, while Luffy takes on Doflamingo-san. Bartolomeo saves Bellamy for no reason, thus proving that he really does belong with the Straw Hats. Toy Soldier lays out his plan, which hinges on taking out Sugar and breaking the spell of her Hobby Hobby fruit. The only hitch is that she's guarded by a formidable foe whose name is Trevor. Luffy is going to follow Bellamy out of the Colosseum, while Bartolomeo is going to win the Flare Flare fruit. And wait, what's this? A mysterious stranger? That couldn't be. Frankie makes his way to the Smile Factory alone, since he can't fit through the secret tunnel, and gazes into a dark mirror. That's right, it's the Battle of the Perverts, baby. Usopp and Robin go through the tunnel because they can fit. The final block of the tournament is concluded with Rebecca being named the winner. Luffy makes it to the palace lift and Viola grants him access. He and Zoro are confronted with Pika, a stone man. Robin distracts Trevor while the Tontata attempt to deal with Sugar. And finally, it is revealed that the toy soldier is none other than the legendary gladiator, Kairos. Or Kairos. Probably Kairos.
Yeah, I said Kairos.
Also, I know that the guy's name is Treble in this
I was
translation.
Gonna bring that up.
Yeah,
who the fuck is Trevor?
I know it is Trevor, and those consonants in Japanese are so close that it is basically the same thing.
Well, I do want to slightly push that back on that a little bit, just because I think it's a fun detail that, and I only confirmed this for myself literally just now while you were talking, Treble is the Spanish word for club, like the suit of cards club. And in the same way, Pika is Spanish for spade, and Diamante is Spanish for diamond. So all that we're missing is a Corazon for heart.
I just think it's funny that if you say his name in Japanese, like in the anime, when you hear it, it sounds like Trevor.
Oh, okay, I haven't seen this part.
Which I you're right, but it's still funny to me.
Oh, 100%.
So I don't know. We don't usually do this, but is there anything else in the summary that you guys would like to clarify or expand upon? Because, yeah, it's a fucking lot. There is so much shit going on. I cut out a lot of stuff. There was, like, whole twos and threes of chapters at a time where mm-hmm. I was like, I just can't write any of this down.
This is one of the two arcs where, and I'm curious if I feel this way about the other one on the reread, but there are two arcs that are notable for being really fucking long. And I think that, like, they're overall good, but they get away from him a little bit. It's just a little much, I think. And this was the part for this read through of Dressrosa that I think it really clicked of like, hey, I'm enjoying this, but there's too much shit going on right now. Like, I completely forgot that, like, the Big Mom pirates just show up for like a chapter
and then get subdued very fast.
Yeah, like
Big Mom's on like two pages.
Yeah, and we still haven't even seen her. We just saw the two guys that we saw back at Fishman Island.
Wait, wasn't Big Mom, like, she was incapacitated like in the 730s? She got like, wasn't she all wrapped up on the ground? She was like sleep talking or something about, who are you calling, Miss Universe or something like that?
Oh, no, you were thinking of the art lady, Giola, I think her name is.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. That's right. She's part of the Big Mom Pirates. She's part of the dress, the.
Yeah, she's one of the Don Quixote del Flamingo officers, I think we find out in the stretch there are like 10 of them, not counting the. Like the big three.
Right. The Big Mom pirates are on the boat. They shoot the meteor cannon thing.
Yeah. I think it is like straight up the largest ship in One Piece, at least that we've seen so far, is Big Mom's ship. It is literally like 500 times bigger than the 100,000 Sunny. We don't get much of a good glimpse of them, but it's really big. It's got a giant cartoon face on it that sings Shippy Shippy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Is that Bo singing?
Yeah.
So Giola is part of the Trevor division or Treble.
Yeah, the special powers division or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, it's Violet, Giola, and Sugar who all have their special roles.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess we can just talk about Sugar a little bit.
Sure.
She looks like a child.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not. It's just that her devil fruit ability keeps her looking like a child.
Locked her age
and in. I thought it was very funny that Usopp, when he heard that his enemy was a little girl, said, all right, well, let's do this. Sounds awesome.
I can easily take a child.
Yeah.
only he can't, as we find out. She owns all of them, including Robin, who has been transformed into a doll, and now nobody presumably remember she exists.
Heartbreaking.
Very sad. And, for her in particular, I think.
Oh my god. And Cavendish, too. He's a toy.
And also has a secret persona where he turns into a sleepwalking murderer.
Yeah, yeah, like a serial killer, basically.
Yeah, they call it the White Knight, White Knight? Is that his alter ego?
It was like the Winds of Rommel or something.
That's his attack, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's going crazy mode and just like swinging a sword and that's creating wind or something. I got to be honest. I don't clearly remember because it comes up of nowhere and it doesn't really have anything to do anything.
Yeah, it's not really explained very well. It's like a plot device. You're just like, oh, yeah, he can do that.
He has an alter ego that, funnily enough, seems like it might actually be more famous than him, which I think would piss him off if he knew about it.
I think it would. I think it is. And I forget where I heard this, if this is the SBS or me just hanging out online and reading about this. But apparently Cavendish was originally intended to be Ace's rival. And so he was going to be like a totally different type of, I don't know if totally different, but like a character that was not originated in this arc, and he ended up changing his mind about that, but he liked Cavendish and he wanted to introduce him at some point, and so he pops up here without the whole rivalry backstory going. So that might help explain why he has this bizarrely detailed random power.
As a foil to Ace, I think this would be more interesting, mm-hmm. but since he's already a side character, it's kind of like a side character to a side character.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, You know, in general, we can talk about this as the episode goes on. I am sort of liking how much shit is going on in this arc so far. I think I was a little overwhelmed last time, but now that I feel like I have a better handle on everything, I actually like how complex this is.
Sure.
And I really like Oda's strength, which is the diagrams and the maps and the schematics to help you understand what the fuck is going on and where everybody is. I think he's getting real good at that. I mean, he was already good at it, but you know.
Well, I think that he's playing around with structures and ideas in interesting ways with this too. Because like I think one of the things that he really enjoys doing is kind of retelling the same plot, but you know, in a different or more developed way. Kind of like how I argued back at, you know, Water 7 and Enies Lobby that was kind of a retelling of Nami's origin story. This, I think, is really similar to the story of Alabasta and how you've got this kind of deserty-ish kingdom where one of the warlords shows up and attempts to subvert it to take it over for himself. Only the difference is here, it's already happened.
Yeah, I mean, Crocodile did the same shit where he, like, basically pretended to save Alabasta.
Yeah, exactly. But Doflamingo is, instead of going for this frankly too complicated conspiracy, instead he shows up with his crew and has a really good sinister idea and just kind of shock and awes it. But I think that this also is what clicked for me of like, why the hell did he want all this to happen in one day? That's crazy. But I think he wanted to have a parallel between how the Riku dynasty was destroyed in one night, and now the Doflamingo dynasty is possibly going to be destroyed in one day, which I think is fun.
Yeah, I agree. I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah, it is a nice little kind of like framing device almost. So Patrick and also Matt, but I always want to hear from Patrick. I'm wondering if you guys had any favorite character moments, because I thought there was really good character stuff going on in here with a lot of different characters. So speak on that.
I mean, I thought King Raikou's stuff, was that the end of the last chapter's stretch?
We find out who he is at we get the flashback like at the start of these chapters here.
Yeah, I think that was at the very beginning where you figure out that he his body kind of got him and his army's body got taken over by a Doflamingo. When he showed up, he had to take all the money. So I thought that was some good character building because it was just alluded to in the last one, kind of figure out who he is. His backstory was good. A lot of character building. Felt really bad for him and made Doflamingo pretty evil-ish, I thought. Like, it did a really good job of making me hate him. Like, just what a conniving asshole is what I kept thinking.
I liked the part where he showed up and Riku was telling him, "Oh, shit, I heard about you. You're the rogue guy who...
part of the family that owned this
I forget exactly what he said, but Doflamingo's response was, the world government doesn't know what to do with me. After all,
I'm not afraid of the dragons.
What can they do with a guy who isn't afraid of the celestial dragons? Yeah.
Great parallel with Luffy and the crew in general.
Yeah, and also it's sort of related, I feel, to... there was something that happened later. Oh, Fujitora.
Yeah, okay. I was going to bring that up.
Oh, the admiral.
Brought this up.
Yeah,
Fujitora is like, this is exactly why he doesn't like the warlords.
And doesn't he explicitly say what he wants to do with the warlords?
He wants to end them.
He wants to destroy that whole system. It's awesome.
And he also said something about, you know, what are the Marines supposed to do? Just sit back and watch as one of you warlords takes over a country, basically. And if we went back and read it, it would be more clear. But I sort of was thinking about Alabasta, where I was like, he could kind of write this off as he's talking about Alabasta. Mm-hmm. But then I think the implication is I'm talking about you, bitch. So I'll help you for now is what he says. And once this day is over and we see what happens, I'll reevaluate.
Yeah, like Doflamingo is a king in good standing with the world government and a warlord. So Fujitora is, he's a fucking Marine, like at the end of the day. So his hands are kind of tied. But Yeah, I thought he was saying in no uncertain terms, if I had been here 10 years ago, none of this shit would have gone down. If I'd been on that plane, I'm just saying it wouldn't have gone down like that.
And he also specifically points out, like, I'm just a newcomer. I got drafted, basically.
Well, that's one of the things I like about him is we don't know, like, where are you from, dude? Like, what's your deal, man? You act like they just kind of pulled up next to your house and pointed at you and said, get in the car, man. I said, okay. So maybe that's all that happened, but I don't know. I would love to find out more about where he came from and what his whole deal is.
His little clash with Zorro was pretty cool. It was only for a second, but he did appear very powerful because he kind of knocked Zorro away like nothing.
Well, I like that he's using like the sword and the gravity stuff in conjunction with each other, right?
Yeah.
Because I think he literally pulls Zorro like through the ground or something by just pressing down on him with that ability.
Yeah, they kind of drew Zorro all blurry, like he was being weighted down.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Was that the fight? Wasn't there a bunch of people fighting? Because there was someone else did that where it was like kind of someone's sword was real wavy and like disintegrating.
That was, I think you're thinking of Diamante in the arena because he can turn anything into like a cape basically.
The flutter or whatever.
Yeah. So he can kind of
that's right.
Make his like armor or his sword much more like flexible. It, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it was like I can make it flutter in the like it's in the wind, no matter what the material is. And I'm like, that's that power seems right. Like a stretch of the word power.
I think he just wanted to have a bullfighting thing in there, which is fine. But
yeah,
we also get
listen mm-hmm. When you have to come up with hundreds of named devil fruits, not all of them are going to be bangers.
I do.
I'm just saying.
I gotta say that like. Of the officers, like, Diamante is the one that I just did not remember at all compared to Pika and Treble. Pika, I think, has a very neat power. He just literally becomes, like, the castle, I think. I think Zoro has the line of, like, where do I even attack this guy? Like, what am I supposed to do?
I think
he's the whole castle is made of stone that he's now control of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like Pika's power a lot, yeah. And I also like the way it's drawn.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he looked cool, yeah. It was kind of like what I wish the Sandman from like Spider-Man would have looked like sometimes.
Sure, yeah. This isn't really a character moment, but it's a character detail that I feel like has probably always been there, but that I didn't really think about until now. But it's Doflamingo has this like bulging vein on his forehead at like mm-hmm. all times. And it hit me that that's kind of an interesting detail because you see that in like manga or anime a lot when somebody's really tense or like powered up or something. He's always got it like 100% of the time. And, you know, we see him get serious. We see him like laugh like the Joker. But a lot of the times he's trying to present himself as being kind of relaxed or carefree or having fun. But he's just constantly showing that bulging forehead vein. And I thought it was an interesting way of suggesting that he is way more stressed, enraged, high strung, whatever you want to call it at all times. Just a very pressurized individual. And I don't know, I thought that was neat. I think you can really kind of see that aspect of his character in these chapters.
He actually is the Joker.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
he very much is Joker-fied for sure. One character trait that Doflamingo has is always wanting to say his full name when he introduces himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think in these chapters he said, my name is Don Quixote Doflamingo, like 3 or 4 times.
It is interesting, yeah. Like, you know, most of the time characters address each other by like their familial names or maybe their first name. But yeah, he's like, I'm giving you the whole deal all the time. Family name, first name, it's all one and the same with me. Like he's Madonna or something, you know?
Yeah. I loved the Nami stuff, man. When Nami was on... This whole, like, sequence of the Straw Hats formulating their plan was great.
Yeah, on the mm-hmm. phone.
I love Frankie being like, I don't give a fuck what you say, Luffy. I'm gonna destroy this fucking factory and whoop this dude's ass.
Mm-hmm.
And Luffy's like, okay. Just immediately, okay.
I really enjoyed Luffy signing off on all of this stuff, saying like, hey, don't worry about it. They started it first. And especially that thing of like, Captain, we want to go ahead to the next island. Yeah, Nami explaining, we have 2/3 of what's actually important on this ship, and we need to leave to protect that.
Yeah. So smart, dude. Yeah. So smart. I don't even remember what happens in this arc exactly, to be honest, but that's so smart of her to be like, it's such a power move, because mm-hmm. that could theoretically, again, I don't remember, that could end up saving some of their lives. If Zoro is about to fucking die from Pika, he can be like, we have the guy that you want. Mm-hmm. Don't you want that guy? You know, like, that's where my mind goes, is this is a card that might end up coming important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She even says, like, she uses it in the context of Law's sacrifice. Mm-hmm. She's like, he would have sacrificed for nothing. Like, if we hold all these pieces right now, if we were just going to give one back, then he died for nothing. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, he didn't die, apparently. 740.
Nope, he's still alive. Not looking good.
And I knew that watching him get his ass pounded into the ground by Doflamingo, it's like, no one's actually dead in One Piece until you see a headstone. And even then, there's still a chance.
Speaking of characters we thought were dead that weren't, there's one in particular who we haven't quite gotten a name or a face yet, but I think we all have a pretty good guess. Who just showed up at the Colosseum? What did you think of that, Patrick? Who do you think our mystery man is that swapped places with Lucy?
Okay. Lucy too.
Yeah, Lucy too. I don't know. I want to say it's Ace, but I know he should be dead. But I don't know who it is. Why would whose eyes would bulge? Why would Luffy's eyes bulge like that? So unless it was like,
oh, that reaction shot, so good.
We got one hint. A couple hints.
He knows who Luffy is. He knows that Luffy's going to be the king of pirates.
We see an image of three empty sake cups. Does that ring any bells for you?
No.
No problem. So that was a reference to the Luffy flashback where you see him growing up with Ace and Sabo. They drank sake together to seal their bond as brothers.
That's what you said. Okay, that's why you said Sabo. Okay, we were talking about this before the podcast started, but
yeah, and so
there's also another clue.
There are a couple clues. Yeah.
So you remember in the Sabo flashback when Sabo met Dragon of the Revolutionaries, who's Luffy's dad?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is Sabo the oldest brother or the middle brother?
He was got the top hat. I don't remember if he was technically older.
He was the one who had rich parents and all that.
The one who was the oldest because he went off to sail first, but he got in his little raft right when Celestial Dragons showed up.
And his ship got destroyed by the Celestial Dragons.
For no reason, but because, hey, you're in my way or whatever.
They wanted to. Okay,
while we're talking about it now, though, I will say, in those chapters, I think I mentioned it on the episode, I mentioned that there's this one line of dialogue that seems like a total non sequitur, but if you know what happens later, then it makes sense. And that's, we get a little glimpse of the revolutionaries and you don't see who's talking or who they're talking to, but there's this line of like, oh, you're soaking wet, come here. And it suggests that they like pulled somebody out of the water. And, well, that might be a certain blonde haired boy. Yeah.
And also during the time skip, Robin, of course, spent time with the revolutionaries and somebody's talking to Lucy too on a snail. And is like, hey, is Robin there? Like, I want to say what's up to her.
So that's Koala.
Implying.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
So Koala is somebody we've actually met before. Do y'all have any guesses who that might have been or where we may have seen her?
No.
So here's a hint. It when it first introduces her here, it mentions that she's a fishman karate expert, which is weird because she's not a fishman.
Yeah.
So do you...
She was working with... says back on... At Arlong Park or something?
So Koala is in the flashback, the Jinbei Arlong flashback where we meet Fisher Tiger. Do you remember that they rescued a little slave girl?
Yeah, the
girl.
Little girl.
Oh, yeah.
That was Koala,
that's
right?
Koala. Yeah. And the reason why she learned fishman karate is because, well, we'll find out who taught her, actually, but the reason she was interested in it in the first place was from her time with the Sun Pirates and Fisher Tiger and all that. So, yeah, she grew up and she joined the revolutionaries, which I thought was awesome.
And the other clue is that Lucy too, his attack is Dragon Fist, where he like makes that weird shape with his hand. Mm-hmm. And then he uses Haki and he just kind of like stabs with his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Dragon Fist, I believe, or Dragon Claw.
Dragon Claw, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Lot going on. So we'll get the final confirmation on that. But I think it's we can just say it's Sabo. It's fine, I think.
I love after Luffy sees who it is, he's in disguise in a little animal costume and he's just crying, just sobbing.
Oh, just weep. Yeah, I thought he was dead. Yeah. Yeah, sorry if we did spoil on that, Patrick, but...
No, I was just confused by that part, as I knew it was going to be like a big reveal of who it was, but I did not put those pieces together, and I was just confused because it shows Luffy when he's in his gladiator getup, you know?
Yeah.
And then the next, this, I think that's on the right-hand side of the page, and the left-hand side of the page, it's not that time anymore. It's like when he's... I think he's in the koi fish or something.
Yeah.
and I was like, wait, who is that? Who the hell is that guy? And so I kept reading and I was like, they're surely going to mention who the hell he just saw, please, like within the next 100 chapters, like hopefully within the next like 2 chapters.
We will find out within this arc, but yeah, there will be some things coming up where it's like, all right, man, write that shit down because it's going to be a minute and not the same arc before he gets back to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll be finding out probably by the next record, if I had to guess, but I don't remember.
Also, there's only one other person who's ever used a pipe like that as a weapon.
Yeah, the sake cup thing is like a really significant image. And
wait, was that a cup? I thought, because you said pipe, and I remember that, but that was supposed to be the sake cup? That was your talking about?
No, sorry, different things.
Okay.
Sabo fought with a pipe when he was a kid also, and we see him fighting with a pipe in the Coliseum, but I think it's around when Luffy is like, oh, I thought he was dead. We just see an image of the three empty, like, they look kind of like dishes or saucers. But yeah, that is from the sake cup scene, which way back in the SBS, some reader said, hey, it looks like there's a third sake cup. Do Luffy and Ace have a third brother? And he's like, oh, shit. Yeah, you caught me. So yeah, we've seen that image in little bits and pieces for quite a while now. So that's just the significance of it coming back here again.
See, Patrick, this is this is why you got to pay attention to this shit.
I mean, it's like you don't know what's going to be important, and there's so much in every panel. It's like there's no way you can keep it in your. I mean, it's not until you see it later you're like, oh, that means this was important. But like right now, it's just like drinking from a fire hose. Sometimes, what it feels like.
No, and that's totally fine. And like. Don't sweat it if you're not picking up on all this. Like, John's read this part before, and like he didn't connect the koala thing either.
By the time I had read this, I had like gotten deep into the lore and like rereading certain chapters and
to connect it.
Yeah, like if a character like came back, or if I was like had a question, I would like actually look up the chapter and go back and read and look for hints and shit. Uh-huh. So. I was doing like deep theory crafting as I was reading this. So my friends and I immediately, as soon as we saw the sake cups, were like, what chapter was that? Look it up. Okay, we have to go back and okay, so this is when we're fucking breaking the code of the Matrix.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's you have to be careful though, because I've like when I Google somebody's name from One Piece, I do like, you know, like if I was doing Sabo beats, Sabo chapters 30 through 50 or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like not just Sabo One Piece, because then it'll be like, can you believe Sabo dies in chapter 741, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, you really got to be careful about that, 100%. By the way, sorry for accidentally spoiling the Viola Violet thing last record.
Yeah, I felt so vindicated because I was like, I tried to play it cool and I was like, oh, you're thinking of someone else, Matt, you know, like trying to cover it up.
Yeah.
I did not catch that. So yeah, that's good. I mean, like, no worries.
good. Okay.
I think I remember now talking about it, but I immediately forgot it after we recorded.
Good.
Well, I think I did lightly edit that episode too.
Oh, cool.
where I was perfect. Like, you said it, and then I was like, oh, no, you're talking about something else. Just and then kidding. We talked about it for another 2 minutes, but I just cut all that out. Okay, yeah. So it just sounded like a joke or something.
Perfect.
I hope I did that. If not, I'm going to have to edit this episode when I say I did that.
That's fine. It's whatever. I think what I'm running into with this arc a lot is that, like, I've forgotten most of it, but then I'm remembering it while I'm reading, but I'm not. So I'm remembering things that happen, but not necessarily the pace at which they're revealed. So also last time I'm like, yeah, it's great. They all just go to the next aisle and they're gone now. Poof. And I forgot, oh no, they continue talking about it for several chapters here and have to like reconfirm that they're leaving. And so, yeah, sorry about that.
No worries.
Patrick, is there any other like cool stuff that you wanted to talk about?
I thought that Sugar's henchman overseer, I already forgot the guy's
Treble.
Name.
Treble.
Yeah. Treble, yeah. Treble. I thought Treble was super creepy and gross looking.
Oh, yeah,
and
he's awful.
Boogers that turn his, what is his power called? It's drip fruit or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
Stick.
Sticky. Yeah, yeah, sticky, that's right, yeah. That's what's turning them. That's just trapping them, and then Sugar turns them into the dolls and does that weird incantation, like, you know, obey the orders and don't harm the people. I thought he was a good henchman.
Treble's scary and gross, but yeah, sorry, you just reminded me that I really like the reveal that the reason why the toy soldier is important is because he's the only toy, and so the only, you know, transformed person with all of his memories to not have been given any like directives. That's how he's able.
Convenient. It's very convenient. It's one toy, this whole fucking island,
well,
that doesn't have it. Yeah.
They also mentioned he was the very first toy created here. And so we can imagine the circumstances of that were probably a little
hectic. Yeah.
Yeah. And we also find out who he is.
Well, it's funny you say that, Matt, because that's one thing that I wanted to talk about was the toy soldier's ongoing bit where he doesn't say the obvious answer to the question, where he's like, anyways, that's King Riku, the grandfather to my daughter. But so the plan is we're going to go in through this tunnel. And Usopp's like, so you're his son, right? So the name of the plan is he'll never say it directly. Yeah. That bit is very funny to me.
But now we know. Now we have a better idea anyway.
And we feel like his pain, because his daughter, even if he did say it to his daughter, she would have no memory of what's happened.
Yeah. Right?
She also has a lot of love for him anyway, though.
But she doesn't want to. She has a line where like she doesn't have to do things because he's not her dad. She says that a lot.
He is clearly. So I think on one level, there's some sort of like recognition and ambition thing going on with the power. And it's kind of like the recognition and ambition is mentioned a lot with like Superman. Like, how come nobody ever looks at Clark Kent and goes, hey, you look just like the most famous man
wait
in the world.
Minute.
Yeah. And so recognition inhibition is just kind of a term for just saying, look, just they're not able to recognize them, partially because then you just don't get a story or whatever. But here it seems to be like magically enforced. I'm just talking out of my ass, because now I'm remembering that one toy said, I'm your father. And then he gets thrown in the trash heap. So, yeah, I guess Kairos could totally just say, I'm your dad. And doesn't, but he's got some weird honor thing going on. He clearly blames himself for like everything that's happened, and I don't know. Maybe he'll just, you know, start communicating better later. Who knows?
We can only hope.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Because there are a lot of scenes where he's just beating his daughter up.
It is pretty funny. Yeah, just
yeah. There's several of those,
but I don't know. He's just getting his ass kicked a lot right now. Like,
yeah, I mean, they make a point of saying he has a shitty toy body.
Yeah, with one leg. And like Lao Ji is actually cool and tough, but he is like his whole visual gag is that he's a hilariously old looking man wearing very like tight latex. And the fact that, I don't know, he beats the shit out of the toy soldier, no problem. Off screen, too, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, Lao Ji is funny. I think he's in it the right amount.
Mm-hmm. Another person we meet, who is in it quite a bit, God, what is his name? The hard-boiled guy with the Let's Baby.
Oh, he's hard-boiled.
Senior Pink.
Senior Pink. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, what an enigma.
I think I mentioned last episode that there are at least like four flashbacks involved in this arc, and I'm realizing now there are even more of that, because that motherfucker gets a flashback.
But it's not like his whole life explained. He has like nothing explained, really.
Well,
right? He's just a giant baby.
We haven't gotten the flashback yet, but yeah, we will.
Oh, you mean like it's coming up?
Yeah, we will. Yeah. Later on, we'll be learning more about Senor Pink.
Yeah. Oh man, it's the questions I have about that. You know, there's some characters where I just can't wait to see how Oda explains how this person came about and what his deal is,
yeah.
Or what their deal is. This is the one where I'm like, okay, he's going to do some like gross baby power or something, like, I don't know, explosive diarrhea, his enemies or something. But it's like, he doesn't talk like a baby. He just looks like a man. It's not even like, he's got like a baby bonnet thing on, right?
Yeah.
And then he's got samurai, it looks like stars and stripes, like a samurai butt towel thing. Uh-huh. And then the senior or the pink or let's pink. Is that what it says?
Let's baby.
Let's baby. Yeah, let's baby. That's where I got the baby thing from. And then he's like super powerful blocking blows for his buddy. So his buddy can recharge.
Yeah, and he can swim around in the ground. And he's got
a
very macho persona that is presented as all the women around him being incredibly in love with him. But he also does weird, gross stuff like rip a girl's
top off. That's the first thing he does.
Literally the first thing he does. Yeah, which I did not remember he did that.
Yeah, wild. You see the hand go straight there, and then shoom.
And I think I actually agree with this choice because right off the bat, you're like, this is dark Frankie. This is if Frankie was a psychopath.
I do like that. Yeah, yeah.
Dark Frankie has respect though. He's like, that guy's hard boiled.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But I think you are supposed to not like him.
Yeah,
I don't know. That was the vibe I got. Some of the characters like him, like, you know,
he's a villain. Yeah, I think Oda just thought, wouldn't it be funny if I drew a man dressed like a baby who acts like
tough,
the most cool, gruff, yeah, like guy you could possibly imagine. Yeah, it is funny, but it's gross sometimes too.
Hey, Patrick,
Do
you have any Usopp thoughts?
Usaland?
Yeah, sorry.
I am curious. Because Usopp went so willingly into this fight with Sugar, and then when their plan instantly fell apart with Sugar, you know, the Tabasco ball is in her clutches. She's not going to eat. She's suspicious of it. She turns half the
Tentadas.
Tentadas. She turns half the Tentadas into like dolls and attacks the other ones. And then Nami's a toy, and Usopp's like, oh, fuck. And so now I am curious to see if he is going to pull his shit together, but I don't know how he can single-handedly. Let's see. Maybe Sniper King is going to visit us in the next chapter. I don't know.
That's a great prediction.
That is a great prediction.
I don't remember, but like, this does seem like a job for Sniper King, right?
Sniper King is needed now because Usopp, he's in over his head.
I do remember generally how this wraps up, and it is good, but yeah, this stretch I found frustrating of like, come on, dude. I thought we were you've got to nut up right now because you were really letting everybody down. Come on, man.
Yeah, like it's been 740 chapters Usopp running away from these problems. And like, I'm talking like I can count on my hand the number of times he's actually stepped up to the plate and delivered. Right. You know, so this has to be one of them.
Yeah.
And it does kind of need to change a little bit. I know this is his shtick, is like, you know, he's a scaredy cat and he runs away and is reluctant to face any of this stuff head on. But I don't think it can change 100%. Like, that's just core Usopp, but he needs to find it within him to like somehow become the Hulk in these kind of situations. Hulk Sniper King.
Yeah, Usopp can be Usopp, but like he has to be capable of doing things also instead of just lying and panicking.
I know Luffy's reluctant to kick anyone off the Straw Hat crew because no one has ever been kicked off the Straw Hat crew. But
I mean, Usopp was temporarily.
He quit. Well,
they got in that huge fight. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but that was kind of like, oh, you're firing me? I quit, kind of.
It's a one-way ticket. It's a one-way ticket on the crew, and I guess you just have to die to get off.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or yeah, permanently, it seems like.
I do really enjoy when in like a Japanese story they give something like a crazy name or like a pun that is hard to translate, which is clearly what happened with Operation SOP.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a great explanation.
I really enjoyed it, and I do really enjoy the English title they gave it, which is Sugar Overwhelmed Equals Panic.
Sugar plus overwhelmed equals panic, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that feeding her grape filled with Tabasco sauce is a astonishingly stupid idea. But
also, who eats grapes like that? Who puts grapes on their fingertips?
I thought it was like a fried like donut hole.
I thought it was like an olive or something. Because I could see olives doing that, you know, pitted mm-hmm. olives. You could stick them on your finger.
Yeah, I knew but it was like, sweet.
That's kind of it.
But no, grapes. She just likes grapes.
So can you guys pull up a chapter for me?
Yeah.
Sure.
I sure can there, John.
732, page 16.
Okay, one sec.
Oh, it's not working.
732, right, John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh no. I almost clicked. I clicked on a very high number chapter.
Oh yeah, don't do that. It probably would.
Seven.
Patrick, you scroll from the bottom, right?
No, I go top down.
No!
It's 300 from the top or 700 from the bottom.
You gotta be careful about the images yeah. of the volumes.
Yeah, I go all. Very fast. Yeah, I scroll very okay. fast.
Okay.
I'm on the page, John.
Yeah, me too.
So Usopp comes crashing in through the tunnel, uh-huh. hits his head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sideways, yeah. That's the
way. Robin get up and they go to start investigating. And as Robin is looking around the corner, Usopp is drawn on a white background.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm.
he's hearing this stuff from above the underground, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all the workers at the dock.
Yeah, he's hearing stuff from, the floor above or whatever. And I
love Usopp. Just wanted to see. Oh, okay.
I just think this is a cool, like, he's like unlocking some extra sensory shit or something. He's like
going
Daredevil with his ears. You know what I mean?
Oh, you think that's like enhanced powers of his? I thought he was just hearing stuff and they didn't draw the crate or whatever they're in.
It seems like nobody else hears it, you know? Because he's listening to this and Robin's just like not even aware of it, mm-hmm. it seems like. That was my read, but
doesn't she comment on that? Oh, I thought
she's in like spy mode. She, like reverting to her assassin skills here, I think. So it's a little unclear if she didn't hear or if she's just not saying anything.
That's weird. I thought that it must be the next chapter because someone does bring it up saying like, oh, you must have heard all the talk from above because we're underground, we're beneath the port or whatever.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that
pretty cool stuff.
It might be maybe he's getting some observation hockey or something. That would be cool.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see Usopp get a little stronger. But yeah, the whole Tabasco thing, like, it's a cool setup. Like, it's just an interesting MacGuffin, I guess, where it's like, we need to get this thing in her mouth. And mm-hmm. if we can, the entire plan works. But it's like this one linchpin, this one ball needs to be in a very specific hole.
Like, yeah. I'm assuming that it wasn't Tabasco sauce in Japanese, but I like that detail because when Sugar gets the grape, she's like, this smells like poison. This is obviously not a grape. And I like that because
it smells awful. Yeah.
Anybody who smelled Tabasco sauce knows it's a really distinct smell.
It's instantly, it smells bad. You recoil instantly if you just open the cap and take a big old deep sniff.
Yeah, it's like they made vinegar meaner. Like, it's really, it's really difficult not to notice that.
I like Tabasco, but you're right.
I do too. Yeah, but
I like it. But yeah, if you put too much on something and then you like bring it up, like you're going to take a bite and it's right next to your nose. Oh, yep. Man.
Like, what if you took Tabasco sauce and reduced it?
Oh, man.
Haven't you ever had dried Tabasco around the cap? that's like what that is.
That's what this is made of.
Crust,
like
yeah.
dried Tabasco crust.
Crusty. Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm going to do last call, guys, because I'm kind of running out of shit.
Yeah. Go for it.
What do you guys think? Anything else we need to talk about? Because I do have a little game we can play.
Okay.
I think I've covered everything I want to talk about.
Yeah, I think I've done most of the important stuff. I love Bartolomeo. I love how much he's broing down for Luffy and just kind of being, yes, sir, whatever you want, sir. Mm-hmm. Rebecca's cool, though. The first time she attacks somebody, it's the guy that she can't injure at all. Drat. Anyway, yeah,
You reminded me of when they're dressed up in the animal costumes, which I thought that bit was actually funny. Like, I think Bartolomeo's in the frog, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I really... And, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, no, keep going.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I really enjoy like the Kinemon like visual gags that he does. Like he turns himself into Doflamingo later and is really bad at pretending to be him. He's like, oh yes, the young master, the thing that you call me. Mm-hmm. You should go inside now. Anyway.
Well, I what's the part where they're all three in costume and or in disguise and they're talking to someone and she's like, you guys cannot go in here, like you're gonna give it away or something like that, or you can't act normal. She said, I can't remember who they're talking to.
Maybe Viola or Violet. I don't remember who they were talking. There's so many characters in so many different places.
It was Violet.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Violet, but she's telling them they can't do something, and like Bartholomew was like, you offend me, madame, or something like that. I thought,
oh, okay, so I remember now. Yeah, Luffy was like, we could just punch our way through, and she's like, no, that's gonna draw way too much attention. Mm-hmm. And then Bartolomeo was like, you can't tell Luffy what to do. Luffy's yeah. gonna Luffy. Like, what do you mean he can't? That I think that's basically how it went down.
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right. Well, let's get to our rating and review. I will start, as always, with Patrick. Give us a score out of 7 Berry Kingdoms and your thoughts.
So much going on every time through review. So much shit going on. This one I got a little confused on because I couldn't keep some of the people straight. I think it's getting a little hairy in some of the amount of shit going on, and then the jumping between situations, even with the same characters, just different times of what's going on, it's a little confusing to me. So because of that, I'm going to give it a little bit lower score. I'm going to go 4.5 out of 7 Berry Kingdoms, but it's still good though.
As for myself, I think I'm going to go pretty high with, I mean, what I would consider high, and I think a 5.5 out of 7. Like I said, there's a lot going on, but I like pretty much all the stuff going on. Some of it, I think, could be trimmed and would make this feel a little leaner, such as the Cavendish thing that no one needed or asked for.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we didn't really get around to talking about this. I kind of feel bad. But the whole Sabo thing, like why he didn't just reveal it right away is weird to me. Because, like, I was reading this at the time, and everybody fucking knew, dude. It wasn't like, you know what I mean? It was like, who are you tricking? We know who it is. You gave us all the clues, Mr. Policeman. Opposite. You know what I mean. But I still like this, so hence my pretty high score. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, just to, on the Sabo thing specifically, I thought that was him kind of throwing a bone to the really dedicated readers, the people who really plugged into it, and not like the, you know, maybe somebody who's on the train and reading it in the morning with other chapters of whatever. Uh-huh. I think it just wanted it to be a fun thing that, you know, people got to have that little dopamine hit of like, ooh, I put the dots together. I know what that is. I know who that is before we actually get the name in the face. But for me, it's like I did really enjoy this, but this is where the seams of this arc started to show a little bit more. And, you know, I don't want to be too harsh on it. This has the kind of difficult position of being a really transitional stretch of chapters. It's revealing stuff and then revealing stuff and introducing new people and more new people. And it's all heading somewhere, but we're not at the place that it's heading yet. But that's one of the tricky things about this arc is like, it's just so big. Like I think we're less than halfway through it. And like any other arc, we would have basically been wrapping up the island around now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It is fun, but it is also just a little hyperactive. I love all the individual parts of it. I don't feel like they're cohering super well here. So I think I'm going to give this a B tier. Still really good, but I kind of have to stick the problems of this arc somewhere, and this is seem more fitting for that than the other episodes we've done so far.
All right. Well, I guess we will start the game then. Are you guys ready for a damn game?
I would love a damn game.
All right. So this is the top 10 favorite characters in One Piece, according to my anime list.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, John's anime list?
No, my anime list is a website where people log their anime and they can apparently also pick a favorite character.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a hint. This is the top 10, but it's really the top 9 because, well, okay, how do I put this? Okay, 9 of the 10 are members of the Straw Hat crew.
Okay, this is popularity ranking.
This is popularity, but it might as well be basically
favorite One Piece crew.
Favorite Straw Hat, yeah.
Got it.
There are no side characters except for one.
Can I make since we're going to be talking about the characters and their popularity, can I share something I meant to mention? One of my favorite SBS details that we get. Apparently, yeah. When Sanji is addressing Zoro, using Zoro's name is like the second most frequently used term he uses. Whereas when Zoro is addressing Sanji, he has not used Sanji's name once.
A single time.
Not a single time in the entire story. Which I think even Oda was like, damn, really? Not once? Well.
Didn't they have like a whole, he said he even called Sanji like this like 25 word long name that was like an insult and not even his name was in there.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't know Sanji's name.
That's possible. Yeah.
Calls him waiter.
Yeah. He's the cook. Shitty cook or, you know, he's just such disrespect, but
absolutely.
Okay. So, and I'm going to also tell you, don't overthink this.
Oh yeah.
You already know number one,
the average person who watches this show. So, number one, what do you think?
Luffy.
Okay. Yeah. Number two,
Zoro.
Okay. We'll let Patrick answer this one.
Yeah.
Patrick, number three,
Sanji.
Yep. Four. Now this is where it gets tricky, right?
I'm gonna say harder. Nami.
Yeah, Nami's my guess.
No?
Robin?
Yes.
Okay.
Robin.
Okay.
So I bet you're happy about that, right, Matt?
I was just thinking, correct choice.
I mean it's your number one, but you know that's not realistic. So you'd probably think four is like the best she could possibly do, right?
I think on a poll like this, it's gonna be mostly boys voting on it, and that just means that a girl is not going to be number one, unfortunately. So if Robin gets the top spot among the ladies, that's about as good as I could hope for, I think. Yeah.
Among all the 13-year-old boys voting.
Yeah.
I am actually impressed that the 14-year-old boys chose Robin and not Nami.
Mm, yeah, that's true.
So good for them.
Good for you guys.
Number five.
Nami.
No?
Okay. I'm going to say Chopper.
Chopper is number five. Okay. This and he got about 12,000 users, so
wow,
we're still pretty super high. Cute.
And that's true. Here. This isn't people saying he's their number five pick. This is people saying he's their number one pick. And
this is ranked choice.
Fewer of them. Oh, ranked choice, right?
Okay. And I will say that like Luffy had more than 100,000, and Zoro had 82,000, and from there it's a pretty steep drop.
Yeah.
Okay, number six,
not Frankie.
Nope.
Not Nami or
either
Frankie.
Of those?
Nope.
Usopp.
Ace?
It's Usopp.
Usopp?
Yep.
Ace is my pick for the non-crew member also, Patrick.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I will just tell you that, yeah, that's number 10.
Ace is number 10. Okay, I was going to guess number 10.
Not Ace, the one who isn't a Straw Hat.
Got it. Okay.
All right, number 7.
Frankie.
Mm.
I should have stuck with Nami.
Nami is number 7.
Okay.
All right, this
number
is
number 8, Frankie.
This is where it starts to get pretty easy.
Yeah, yeah, there's Frankie and there's Brooke, and then there's whoever the
other. So, who do you think is first, Patrick, Brooke or Frankie?
I'm going to say Brooke because I like him.
I'm going to say Frankie.
That's correct. Brooke with 8,000 users, Frankie has 5,000.
Mm.
That's it? Man, that is a huge drop off from 100,000 for Luffy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that so many people's favorite character is Luffy. I mean, I love Luffy, but come on.
It's not surprising, though. Like,
it is very like picking Mario when you're playing Super Smash Bros. Energy, but like, that's the guy, you know?
Okay, so who is the non-Straw Hat?
And it's not Ace. I'm going to guess Jinbei.
Patrick?
Is it Gold Roger?
Ah, no. Gold Roger was on the list of 25.
It's probably Shanks.
No, it is Jinbei. You were correct. I just wanted to
Jinbei?
Hear from Patrick.
Wow. Oh, man. I would not have thought that. He's a cool guy, though.
Well, and
he is cool.
He did get a crew invite, so maybe he won't be a non-Straw Hat for forever. Or maybe he will. We'll see.
No spoilers, Matt.
I'm just saying, well, no, that's not a spoiler. Fishman Island.
He did get an invite.
He got an invite.
For sure.
He's on the short list.
And he also didn't give a hard no.
No, no. He said, I'm honored, but, you know, There's some stuff I got to take care of. Yeah.
I'm busy, Luffy. Jeez.
I'm an adult. I have adult things that I have to take care of.
I know we are coming up on an hour, but real quick, Patrick, were there any questions that you had? Any thing you wanted us to clear up before we sign off?
No, the Sabo thing, that was the biggest question of who that was. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of got confused at the end when I saw it's Law that's at the dungeon or whatever with
Toy Soldier, I think. Or no, Toy Soldier's with Luffy.
I forgot who's been interviewed by. Is it Viola? No, he's in front of Doflamingo and somebody else, and I can't remember who the other people is, but yeah. Because I kind of forgot that, like, if you only see Law with his hat on, I forget how much he really looks like, a relative of Luffy's.
He actually looks like Luffy's older brother to me, yeah.
Yeah, like a lot. It's very confusing sometimes. I'm like, wait, he had that big tattoo? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Law.
Yeah, that tattoo was kind of revealed this time because he gets his shirt all fucked up, and he also... It was interesting that he got shot through the chest. Like, mm-hmm. Doflamingo didn't use his string powers to actually land the final blow.
I mean, it looks like he got shot point blank range in the head, like during the fight with the string pistol or string bullet, whatever.
I think he did.
I think it's kind of a diss also to just shoot somebody, you know.
Can you imagine Spider-Man shooting you in the head with webs?
Yeah, bullet webs. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think he might have been with Fujitora and Doflamingo. Does that sound right?
I thought there was a woman, but it might have been on the other page. It was because it was Luffy and them sneaking around because they were there. They're outside the room.
Well, we'll just have to read the next chapter and find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Law's fucked up, though. He's on his heart throne or whatever, and he's just looks dead, basically.
He's getting owned.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we did it.
Yeah.
We made it.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast. You can always email us at devilfruitpunch@gmail.com. We love to hear from you.
We really do.
I also love hearing from you. I wanted a dramatic pause.
And until next time, ahoy!